You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 223 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Wednesday, December 18th of 2019. So happy Baby Yoda Day to everybody and happy Star Wars Episode 9 Eve. Those are two big things. Baby Yoda and Star Wars Episode 9. Super excited to see that tomorrow. But anyway, I'm your host, J.R. Cook, here in Kansas City, and I'm not joined by our full and normal crew, but I am joined by one of, you know, my, last week I said Danny was my favorite co-host, but that wasn't true, Ray. You are my favorite co-host, and thanks for joining us this week.
Wait, really? I'm so proud! Thank you, J.R.
Yeah, you were sick last week, right? What it was?
Yeah. I don't know. I've been up and down.
Yeah, that's understandable.
All around, all over the place.
Yeah, and Danny is out this week because of work. We even tried pushing it back for him, but work is just too much for him right now. So, yeah. With that said, this will probably be our last episode of the year, just because of the way that the holidays line up and everything like that. So if you don't hear us for a couple weeks, that will be why. This usually happens every year around this time. It's just like, all right, end of December, we're taking it off. We'll start back up at the beginning of the new year.
The end of the last episode of the decade, JR.
The last episode of the decade.
Hasn't this podcast been going on for almost half a decade?
It has been going on since March of 2015.
So that's yes, about right.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It'll be 5 years coming up in March of this next year.
20% of my life.
That is not 20% of my life. I can tell you that.
That's crazy. I've been playing games, card games, for like 75% of my life.
Card games for most of my life too. I mean, if you think about it, I started Magic the Gathering in high school, and that would have been like in 96, 97. So, you know, that was 24 years ago.
That's crazy, dude. When I was being born, you were in high school already.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty old, man. Pretty old.
That's just crazy to think about.
Yeah, like, it definitely is. You know, what's crazier to think about is I have coworkers that are your age. That I work with pretty consistently. In fact, most of my team is your age. I am the old guy on the team for sure. And that feels so weird because for the longest time, I was like one of the young guys on the team. And, you know,
and then it just like changed completely.
It just changes so fast. You don't even see it coming. So
that's nuts.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of the boomers.
I'm not a boomer.
I know you're not a boomer. That's why you're not gone.
Have you ever seen Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's like, it's not a tumor. I'm not a boomer. That should be a thing.
I'm not a boomer.
I'm not a boomer.
Oh my god.
So.
But yeah. Yeah, lots of stuff happening this week.
I've actually have been playing a decent amount of Hearthstone. Last time that I talked, it was just me and Danny, and I was like, Danny, you gotta run this show because I didn't play a lot of Hearthstone. And it's just because my work schedule just really didn't allow me to, and I was out of town. We had to put our dog down last week. It was just everything was hitting at once, and I just didn't have enough time. But this week, I started playing a lot of Dalakran Priest, which is actually not a good deck. But the reason why I played it and enjoyed it is because you just sit there and you put down a bunch of dudes that kill their dudes when your dudes die, and they just don't know what to do. And you just stall out the game until you finally just knock them down enough and win. But there is the other plus side of it where you play like Leroy Jenkins, and then you can do some like combo shenanigans with Leroy, where you can play like the 4-mana death rattle that says, you know, when this minion dies, it summons 2 more. Yeah, and then you play the 2/2 that copies the death rattle of a minion, and also give it reborn as well. But before you even do that, you're sitting there like invoking Galakrond, and then you use the 3/6 dragon that says when you invoke twice, and you play this, then you reduce all cards in your hand by 1 mana. So that's how you kind of get the combo off, is you'll just be sitting there kind of holding some of these cards in your hand, reduce them, and then in one turn, you can just sit there and just Leroy the heck out of things and win the game. And it doesn't happen very often. I actually only pulled it off twice, but it was fun when I pulled it off, and that's all that matters.
Man, that combo hurts my brain. This is why I don't build combo decks, except for the one combo deck I built.
I mean, the thing is, the deck doesn't need that combo. It's just a combo that you can do if you want it. Like, it's there. Like, Leroy is really there as like a finishing move, or you just like give him reborn or something like that, and then you can kill him after you hit face, and then reborn, he comes back, you hit him again for 12 damage, right? He's really just a finishing move. But I was trying to see like how many Leroys I could hit in their face, and you can basically do an OTK, even though it's very difficult to pull off. But you can do it.
Man, that I was like, I knew there was something there with that card. It's just like, especially anything that can reduce costs of cards, I feel like has the potential to be broken. I know this isn't broken or anything.
Yeah.
But or a potential to have some type of combo, but I was just too preoccupied with other decks. Like, I'm gonna leave that to the combo experts, although it seems like their numbers have been dwindling. I don't know. I feel like there hasn't really been too many combos, but that's just because of the meta. Like, there's so many decks like Face Hunter and even Shaman is aggressive. Like, turn 7, if you can't deal with 2 8/8s, you just lose.
Right. Yeah.
And the best way to beat Shaman right now is to kill them before they get to turn 7. So that just accelerates the meta even more, which pushes combo even farther out outside of Shirvala. Like, I think Shirvala is the one deck that gets an exception because of how much healing that deck has and how you can kind of just play Shirvala and just gain a bunch of life. And like, you could be at 1 health and go back to 30 health in one turn. I think that deck is like a combo deck that we have never really seen before in the history of Hearthstone, where like you just casually go back to full health.
Yeah. Yep. The only other deck I've been playing then as well was just straight up Face Hunter. And I played it like the first day that it really became a thing. And I had lots of success that first day, not as much success the second day, because people started, you know, okay, Face Hunter's a thing. I know I've got to put some cards in to get around it. And, the deck became a little bit more difficult to hit face with, but, I still enjoy it. I really enjoy, like, it's been a long time since we've seen Face Hunter. For people that remember the show back in March of 2015, and maybe shortly after that, like, I would sit there and rant about Face Hunter. And that was the last time that we really saw Face Hunter. It was probably like 4 years ago. So
yeah, like the true Face Hunter, like it is now. Like, this Face Hunter, I see people legitimately playing Leper Gnomes in their deck, not just the quest to get Leper Gnomes. Like, they are playing Leper Gnome on turn 1.
Right.
Which, I don't know, that's like, I never thought I'd see that again in Hearthstone, man. Like, that is how aggressive this meta is.
Yeah. And I love it, even though I hated Face Hunter back in the day. But the reason I hated Face Hunter back in the day is because that was, like, the deck. And also, that was back in the day of, like, just really bad Face Hunter. Like, it was just awful. It was so prevalent. And, so I enjoy seeing that Face Hunter's back, but it's not like, you know, like the main deck or anything like that. It's not S tier or anything.
Yeah.
and not like people have a hatred for Shaman right now. which, funny enough, that's when we'll get into the balance changes here in a little bit, because they did announce those. They announced those were coming, and they not only announced that they were coming, but they then announced today what they were and that they're coming tomorrow. We'll talk about those changes here in a bit, but I wanted to ask you something about that, though, Ray. Is, yep, would you rather have the Hearthstone team come out and say, like, let's say, like, last week, they're like, hey, we know there's a problem, and we're going to announce nerfs next week. Nerfs are coming. Would you rather them say that, or would you rather them have waited until, like, today to say, hey, we're nerfing things tomorrow? The question is, would you rather have the transparency, like, way up front, or not have the transparency until the day before?
I don't.
There's pros and cons to both.
I don't think it matters as long as it's not affecting the timeline of, like, a tournament. Like, if there's a big tournament that people are preparing for that this somehow affects, I think it's better to have it up front, or like the transparency, like, prior. But in a situation like this where it's not even the last week of the month, I don't particularly think it matters. I think that it's kind of irrelevant whether we know about it or not.
But does it make you not want to play knowing that, well, whatever I'm playing right now is just going to go away?
No, that's exciting to me.
That's exciting to you.
I think that when there's changes in the metagame, that's kind of where people who have a lot more knowledge on the game have an advantage, and people who just have played for a long time. It sucks for players who are more casual, though, that's for sure. Like, people who play like a couple times a day or once a week or whatever you want to say, like, when their decks get changed, it's probably a much bigger deal, because then they have to try to figure out what other decks are good, and there's really no data available in the first couple days that's reliable. There's not a good way to figure out what should I be playing, and that sucks for them. But, like, for me, I'm like, all right, let's go. Now I don't have to play Shaman. Literally, I've been playing so many bad decks. I've been playing so many decks. Like, and then I tanked from top 50 to 1K over the course of, like, a couple days just playing bad decks. Or maybe it was, like, a few days, but either way. And then today, I was like, okay, Shaman's getting nerfed tomorrow. I haven't really played Shaman at all outside of, like, a handful of games. Let's play some Shaman and see. I mean, I know what the hype's about, but, like, sometimes you just want to feel like you're cheating, you know? Like, Shaman is so good that I went from rank, like, 1,200 to what I'm at now, which is 64, over the course of, like, 5 hours or less.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Like, that's insane. My win rate, I've probably lost, like, 2 to 3 games total all day.
Yeah, and this is against, like, the best players out there. Like, they're currently playing.
It feels so dumb. Like, I was playing so much, like, Highlander Mage, Highlander Hunter. I played Mech Paladin. I played this weird, like, Dragon, Lightforge Crusader / Lightforge Zealot Paladin, and those are actually really cool cards. It's two new cards that say if you have no neutral cards, you get, like, really good effects. One is equip a 4/2 True Silver. The other is add 5 random Paladin cards.
Okay.
And they're really fun, but, like, just not good enough.
Right.
Like, having that, there's no wars of attrition right now. It's just kill as fast as possible. Kill them before turn 7. And Rogue, I played a little bit of, like, Galakrond Rogue, and I played a little bit of, like, combo, like, Maligos Shenanigan Rogues, and I didn't play the Degenerate Rogue, where it's just, like, turn 4, Death Rattle. I think, what is it the card called? Necrium Apothecary? The one where you just get where you draw the Nerubian that gives everything in your hand +3/+3.
Yeah, it's like the new quest rogue, basically.
Yeah, I haven't played, like, I didn't play that at all. I just kind of, or Anubisath, not Nerubian, sorry. I just avoid playing all the best decks because I just wanted to try to find something that could do well against them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, Highlander Mage, Highlander Hunter, yeah, they can do well against those decks. Like, you have your moments, but at the end of the day, you're still, like, going 40-60. You're not even breaking 50-50, even if you tech for them.
Right.
That's how good the decks are. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I even played Control Warrior, like, this, like, Dragon, like, Deathwing, the new Deathwing, which is actually really good. It's 8 mana, 12-12, attack all other minions. A lot of people were playing that with, Warmaster Boom or Vroom or whatever his name is, and, a Murloc card, like, 2 mana Murloc that buffs a dragon. Yeah. I tried a bunch of different versions of Control, Dragon Warrior. There was some cool things that like are viable now, like Marsh Drake, which is a 3-mana 5/4 dragon that summons a 2/1 poisonous for your opponent, plus the new spell Ramming Speed, which forces a minion to attack into one of its neighbors. So if you play against Shaman, you play a Marsh Drake, and then you force the Drake to attack into the 8/8, which is kind of cool, but you're ultimately just using way too many resources to deal with something that they only dedicated like one card to.
Right.
And even if you brawl that board, it's just like, it's just not consistent enough, and they get it consistently.
Yeah.
And it's just a down, it's an uphill battle, and you're just losing that battle of consistency most of the time.
Yeah. Yep.
But the most fun deck I played that I really hope is going to be viable is a Chef Nomi Druid with the Druid Quest.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that one. Wait.
I played it a lot on stream.
Oh, is that the one where you're basically just like getting rid of your deck as soon as possible? And then Chef Nomi. Yeah.
Secure the deck adds 3 claws to your hand. So it's a gadget sim deck.
Yeah.
So you just like have a bajillion spells that cause 0 or 1 mana.
Right.
And then you have like Zephyrs, Chef Nomi, Elise, Flabinous Floop as like your end game.
Yep.
And a lot of the times, like on turn 6, like if you have the coin, you just go Gadget Sim, coin, Biology Project, innervate, like play a bajillion spells, literally draw your whole deck turn 6, and then play Chef Nomi on turn 7. Flabinous Floop becomes a Chef Nomi. If they clear that one, you can play Elise, which the Elise interaction with a Flabinous Floop Chef Nomi is actually really interesting. If you play Elise with a Chef Nomi in your hand that is like a Flabinous Floop, like a 3/4 Nomi, you'll have the copy that is originally in your hand turn into an Elise, but the second copy that you get, like from Elise, will still be a Chef Nomi. So even if you just play Nomi on 7, you can still play a Nomi on 8 and then again on 9.
Yeah. Huh. That sounds awesome. I might have to try that out. I think I have the cards for it.
You probably do.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You'd be surprised. Like the last few sets, you know, I bought a lot less Hearthstone cards in the last
most
year
of these
than
cards
I have
are
in
commons.
The past. So yeah.
Like outside of Nomi, Flabinous Floop and Elise and Zephyrs, like everything's kind of just like a common.
Outside of like these 10 cards that I just named off, everything else is a common.
That's 4 cards. That's 4 cards that are like new cards. Okay, I guess Secure the Deck's like a rare, but that's like 100 dust or something. That doesn't even count.
It doesn't even.
That's like, that's free. That's basically free. I lied. It's 400 dust. Never mind. Why is that an epic? Why is that an epic?
Yeah, epics are the
worst.
This deck
is not even good. Like, this deck can actually beat Shaman if you get the uber nuts, but most of the time you're one turn off from actually being able to stabilize. Like, you just die.
Send me the deck code. I'll try to remind you after the show. Send me the deck code and we'll put it in our show notes.
All right, I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Awesome.
Bam.
Got it. And you had that ready to go.
Nice. I did.
So
super fun deck.
Yeah. I'm looking at this now. I'm pretty sure I have most of these. In fact, I think I have all of these cards, to be honest.
I mean, you can even cut some cards like Doomsayer and like, I don't know, another card and add like 2 claws or something. Like, there's so much flexibility. Like, Doomsayer is a card that you don't need to have. It's just a card that I thought might help a little bit against some of the more aggressive decks. It doesn't really, though.
Yeah.
There's no good way. Like, I kind of just learned there's really no good way to deal with Shaman. You just accept that you lose. Like, the deck's just one turn too slow no matter what.
Yeah. I'll for anybody that's listening and wants to take a look at this deck, I'll have it in our show notes, so go check that out, and we'll have it there. So you've been playing Druid, you played Shaman, you played some Paladin, you played some other shenanigans, did really well with Shaman, and then do we want to talk about the nerfs now?
Yeah.
All right, let's hop over into that.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So yeah, the big news that we've been talking about is, I want to say, I don't remember the exact day now. I feel like it was Friday, but it might have been Monday. This is the kind of week I've been having, where the Hearthstone community manager was like, hey, we've got nerfs coming. And he like tweeted it out, and I think he posted something on Reddit or on the forums or something, that changes are coming. We're gonna put out some balance changes. which is crazy this early into a set. This is easily, I think, the fastest I've ever seen them do a balance change after a set has been released. And it's just because Shaman is really ridiculous. So we went from basically Evolve Shaman ruining the meta to them not doing anything about it for 2 months, which, whatever, I was fine with. To me, it didn't matter because it was like, eh, let people have their fun with wild, with these wild cards and, you know, whatever. It's not ruining anything. And then we hop into this set and then they made Shaman ridiculous with these new cards. And that's definitely what they're targeting. Three of the cards that they're changing are Shaman cards. And the other one is a neutral that very much gets run by Shaman. So let's talk about this a little bit on the, do you want to talk about the cards or is there anything you want to say about these balance changes, Ray, before we hop into the cards or?
I'm afraid that it might not be enough to actually stop Shaman because the core issue was Galakrond being 7 mana and summoning 2 8/8s.
Right.
And they did not fix that core issue.
Also the wolves. Like, I feel like the wolves are a big part of that deck as well. That just like, when I see those come out, I'm just like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big defensive tool for them.
Right.
That's like why you don't just lose to decks like Facehunter.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, anyway. So, the first card is definitely a Galakrond card. It's the Battlecry Invoke, Galakrond twice, Corrupt Elementalist, the 5-mana 3/3, and all they're doing is just upping the mana cost to 6. So it's going to be a turn later that you Galakrond. So,
yeah,
you know, one thing that I noticed about this list that they sent out today to let everybody know that this is happening tomorrow is one thing I always liked is they would give some developer comments about why they were making the change that they are, and they didn't do that this time.
Yeah, I don't know if anything needs to be said, but
yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe I would have liked to have seen like reasons why they chose this card instead of something
actually,
else.
Actually, you're maybe. Right. You know, no, you're right, because some of the changes don't make sense. Like, or why 6 when like 6 is still part of the curve to right. 7? Like, you can still pretty easily get 2 invokes off and then turn 6 play the Corrupted Elementalist and then turn 7 you just have Galakrond. Like, the right. curve is still the same. Like, the problem is that turn 7 being able to summon 2 8/8s is way too powerful.
Right. Yep.
And that core issue was never actually addressed with these nerfs.
Right. So thoughts on this is we don't think it's going to help much. Like, the crux of the problem is that this is still going to curve out Galakrond for their turns, for their big turn 7.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's enough of a nerf to me. I think that Shaman, Galakrond Shaman, will still be very, very playable. And some of the changes I don't understand. Like, the next one, Sludge Slurper from 2 attack to 1 attack. What was Sludge Slurper ever doing? Like, maybe they had internal data that Sludge Slurper was like one of the best cards somehow, which might be true, but it's not one of the cards that's a problematic, in my opinion, even if it has like a high win rate, because like you play it every game, like people search for it every game, like in their mulligan, yeah. One drop, yada, yada, yada. I don't actually think it was ever a problem.
This is the one that I wanted to see the developers' comments on, because this didn't make much sense to me either. If there was any card on my list of things that they were going to make balance changes to, this one wasn't even anywhere on my list.
I agree with you. That's not even something I thought was kind of in the realm of things that would be changed.
I mean, keep in mind, it does make sense to me that they dropped the attack, right? Because 2-1 with the battle cry that he has is a really, like, it's a really good card for a one drop. And to get the 2 attack, that's not a huge deal, but it's, you know, it's like, think of Leper Gnome, where Leper Gnome used to be a 1-mana 2-1 with the death rattle to do 2 damage. This feels like it was kind of in that same realm with Leper Gnome, but not as powerful. So I understand the reason why they dropped it to a 1-1. But the reason why they decided to do it like right here and right there just didn't make much sense to me with everything else that was felt like a problem in the game. This one didn't feel like it because everything else was so much more powerful.
I mean, I agree with you. That did not feel like something that was even on my radar as something that they would change. And like I said, I think it has to do with some type of internal stats that they have, but that's not what makes players feel bad. When they see Sludge Surfer on one, they're not like, oh, like this sucks.
Oh man, I'm
like, nobody really cares. Like nobody thinks that, yeah, exactly. Nobody thinks they're screwed when they see Sludge Surfer on one. They're like, okay, my opponent had like a pretty solid start. That's about the most that they're thinking when they see Sludge Surfer on one. When you see Galakrond on 7 summoning 2 8-8s and giving you a 5-2 weapon,
you hit the concede
button.
You're just like,
well, this was a fun game.
Right.
I sure enjoy Hearthstone. I definitely want to keep playing now.
Right.
That is the issue to me, not these other things that they're changing. I think Mogu was an issue for sure. That's from 7 to 9, or it now costs 9 mana. It was 7. That was definitely an issue because you could win before turn 7. Like giving Shaman a way to win before they even have to play their broken 8/8s.
Right.
On 7 mana is insane. I like that they changed that. That's a good change. But I don't actually think it's enough. I think that Mogu just gave Shamans another tool to defend themselves and also high roll earlier. Like that's definitely something that's gonna help people be less frustrated with the deck.
Yep.
But that wasn't the core issue.
Yep. Yeah. It's just it's I don't know. You can still is Mogu Flesh Shaper. I almost said the word again.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I said in the pre-show, I'm not gonna say now. Do you think this will still be playable in the Shaman decks with the nerf that it has? Like 7 mana to 9 mana, a 3/4 with rush.
I don't think so, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, I feel like the decks could go revert back to quest now and play things like the Life Drinker, and they can kind of cut this package of what is it called? I just call it Evolve, but it's not Evolve, the 0 mana Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
The Mutate. Like, you can cut that Mutate package now,
right,
and just add other things, which obviously it's going to be a worse version of the deck, but it's still going to be so good that it's probably going to still be tier one. And changing things like Sludge Slurper, like, honestly, I cut Sludge Slurper at one point to add more draw effects. Like, I played Double Loot Hoarder because that's how important finding, like, the Galakrond stuff by turn 7 was, is that, like, Sludge Slurper, yeah, it's good against aggressive things. It's good just to have something on board on one. Like, sometimes you get good lackeys, but honestly, sometimes I felt just drawing a card was better. And the overload was sometimes hard to fit in when you get a really powerful curve.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, the whole point of running Mogu Flesh Shaper was the fact that you'd mutate it into an 8-mana creature, and 8-mana creatures are like, there's so many good ones to become. Mm-hmm. Like they're like that is like the sweet spot for cards, is that 8-mana spot. So bumping up and up to 9, you're like, ooh, I can now get a 10-mana. The problem is, I think Ray said this on the pre-show to me, and it makes sense, is 10 mana minions are overall like not that good of a stat line, like 8 mana minions are.
For what you invest into it. Like,
right. Because most of them have like powerful like battle cry abilities and stuff like that, right? Whereas their stat line is a lot weaker because of that. Because their value is more of, I played a 10 mana creature and it's a bomb because it can do this other stuff that affects the game. And because of that, the stat line of the card isn't that good, as good as what you would think. Whereas 8 mana just seems to be that sweet spot of stat line and also a little bit of power.
Yeah, I saw some people saying that they thought that that was a buff, and I was like, what?
No.
Like, that makes no sense.
It's not. you don't get it out. You don't get it out as soon. The minions are so much better at 8 mana. For board presence. Yeah, no, it's definitely a nerf. I'm not sure if it'll see play with this nerf. I could be wrong, but I don't think it will.
And the last one to talk about is going to be Faceless Corruptor, which goes from 5 attack down to 4 attack. That's the 5 mana, 5/4, copy, summon a copy of this. Like, transform a minion into a copy of this, the rush guy. And I don't know, like, that, yeah, that card is probably a little bit too powerful. I definitely agree with that, but...
The card is like, crazy. Like, I did not realize this card was as good as it is.
I mean, I didn't expect it, but it is as good as it is, and the nerf is probably important for that card, but I don't think that it's a big deal for Shaman. Like, it's still not addressing the core issue.
Right.
Like, all these nerfs are dancing around it, because nerfing Galakrond, I feel like that would be a big deal for them. Like, nerfing one of the core things, what is it called? What do they call it? Like, the theme of the set?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nerfing the theme of the set.
But they've,
probably,
but they've done it feels before. Real bad. They've done it before. They did it with
Questrogue. They did with, like, Genin Baku. And
they did it with Questrogue. Yeah.
But, like, maybe they just felt like they had data that said somehow this isn't the problem, or, like, I just don't know. Like, I don't know if they are interpreting the data correctly, or, like, maybe they're taking the data too literally. Like, they're not recognizing that it's not necessarily a numbers thing and more of a this feels really, really bad to play against thing. Like, I'm sure the data says cards like Sludge Slurper are nuts, but nobody feels bad about seeing Sludge Slurper on one. Like, I don't know.
So you still think Shaman will be powerful, or do you think, or do you think Shaman's just gonna get knocked down to more normal levels? Like, it's still gonna be a top tier deck, but it's not gonna be an insanely top tier deck.
I think it'll still be an insanely top tier deck.
You think it'll still be an insanely top tier deck? All right.
Yeah, I think.
You think that Galakrond more nerfs are probably coming once everybody figures out that that did nothing.
Yes.
All right. So it's gonna be like Questrogue all over again.
Yes. I mean, that's kind of a bold thing to say, but I, like I said, I just don't think that they're answering the core problem. Like, you can just replace those cards with something else. Like, you can, sure, you don't have as much explosive early game, like, in terms of blowing people out with Mogu and Mutate, but now you have things like, you're probably going to get to add Loot Hoarders, you're going to get to play Quest and add Life Drinker, which makes Shudderwalk stronger. Like, you're giving them, like, a trade-off. Like, sure, the deck is getting weaker in power level, but it's so far ahead of everything else right now that, since they didn't address the core issue, I think it will still be far... I think it will still be ahead of everything else. It just won't be to the insane degree that it is now.
Okay, that's fair. And you know, honestly, that seems to be the stance of several people on the internet so far. From the reactions on this patch have definitely not been favorable.
No.
And one of those reasons is I think a lot of people are afraid because this didn't address Rogue at all. And, you know, some people feel like Ray, where they feel like this isn't going to reduce Shaman enough, that Shaman is still going to be insane. And some people are afraid that it will reduce Shaman some, but by doing that, it's going to elevate Death Rattle Rogue to the insane level.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot, but I don't actually think that's necessarily true at all.
Okay.
Well, at least,
why not?
Because I think that it can be answered with silence.
Run an owl in your deck.
No. I'm talking like, I feel like Rogue is going to be really popular because of the hype, and I'm just going to keep playing Shaman, but I'm going to play like double Hex, double Earthshock.
All right.
And I'm just going to never lose to Rogue. Right now, I'm already playing double Earthshock, single Hex in Shaman. When I climbed today, I played against probably 10 Rogues minimum, and I just beat them all. They would go turn, like, coin the Death Rattle dude turn 4, and I just play Earthshock. And then they cry.
So basically,
their whole hand is just full of like Stone Tusk Boar and like garbage cards that do nothing for the rest of the game until they maybe draw a second one. Like, there was one game where a guy coined into one, and then I Earthshocked it, and then he played a second one, and then I Hexed it, and then they just conceded because their whole hand is just garbage.
So basically, what's going to happen is everybody's going to take out their Mogus and their Mutates, and they're going to just replace them with Hex. And Earthshock.
I mean, I think double Earthshock is already really good right now. And I think that if people aren't doing that right now, I think double Hex is overkill right now, obviously. But if they're not already playing double Earthshock, that will 100% be standard. I think Priest will get a lot better.
I think tomorrow you play double of both. And I think that's because the hype, like everybody is hyping up Death Rattle Rogue right now. And everybody's probably going to be trying that tomorrow because they think that that's going to be the new hotness. But your idea is you're just going to continue playing Shaman and you're just going to put in some Rogue hate.
Yep.
And just continue winning.
I mean, it's not even like specifically Rogue hate either. Like Earthshock is just all around pretty decent. Sure. Like a lot of decks play things like, I don't know, if you're playing against Holy Wrath Paladin, they play Bloodkeeper Thanos or Thalnos, whatever you want to call it. Warriors, I guess it's not that great against Warrior, but who plays Warrior? Nobody plays Warrior. Mage, they have a lot of, like, they have a, like, Snip Snap. They have some effects that can get silenced. Like, Hex is still going to be good against Highlander decks because they're going to have big minions. Hunter has a lot of Death Rattles, especially, like, Face Hunter. Even Highlander Hunter has Death Rattles. Like, they play the Ursatron. They play, what is it? They play Snip Snap too, but they also play Dragonbane, which I guess is, like, not the best Earthshock target, but, like, just, I don't know. It's just never a dead card, is what I'm saying. It just, also, one damage to a minion can be helpful in specific situations, especially when you have increments of two from the elementals.
Yeah, my favorite Earthshock target is still the 4-1 dragon.
Twilight Drake.
Yeah, Twilight Drake.
People are playing that, too.
I know. It's my favorite target because it's just like, oh, you have a 4-8. It would be a shame if something happened to it, like this Earthshock. Oh, it's dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people are probably going to play those decks too. The Highlander dragon decks and the dragon decks in general are going to become more popular. So Twilight Drake is going to become more popular, which means Earthshock is still going to be good there. And Hex is just always going to be good against
decks
that have big minions.
Everything that you can target.
Yeah, like I think the aggro decks are going to die down a bit because there's just going to be less shamans tomorrow. So I think people are going to be like, okay, now we can stop playing Face Hunter and kind of settle down for a bit. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like there's not enough good players like grinding ladder right now for it to happen as quickly as it might have in the past. But I think it will eventually get to that point where we'll recognize that Shaman is still too good.
Yeah. So let's see. That's a lot of changes there. And let's see, these were all rares, weren't they? Yeah, all four of those were rares. So if you really want to dust them, I would recommend doing so, unless you want to play these cards some more, just because they would be easy to get back and might as well, right? If you're planning on opening some more packs here pretty soon, get a little bit of dust there. So it sounds like Shaman and Rogue are still going to be pretty big deals. I foresee another balance change after the first of the year.
I'm hoping that we get to a point where they recognize it. I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong. I'm like kind of sure. The more I don't know. Like,
I find that the community is a fairly good judge. They overreact, but there's some truth to the overreaction.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like this definitely is not going to be enough to get people through the holidays happily. People are not going to have happy holidays in Hearthstone.
Well, as Frozen tweeted earlier, which was one of the funnier tweets of the day, another looks like this is a Battlegrounds patch.
Yep. People will be playing Battlegrounds through the end of 2019, it sounds like.
Speaking of Battlegrounds.
Yeah, no, they made some changes to Battlegrounds too. Some of these I don't quite remember the card. I don't remember Boogie Monster because I never really played it.
It's a 6/7 that gets +2/+2 and it kills something.
Right. But
the buff is not permanent.
Right. Part of the reason I never played it is because it was a tier 5, and there's so many better tier 5s that you would pick. And it got reduced down to a tier 4, where I probably still won't pick it up. We'll see. Maybe. Depending on the other nerfs, because there's some big nerfs in this patch. And this isn't a nerf, this is a buff, but still. Mechano Egg was also moved from a tier 5 to a tier 4. I believe Mechano Egg, I'm trying to go off memory here. Mechano Egg, that was the 0/8 that with Death Rattle creates an 8/8 like dinosaur, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the 0/5 mech. Yep.
Yeah. Or it was 05. Yeah. Yeah. So that's another card that I hardly ever played. So we'll see if these are a bunch of cards. The cards that I didn't play a lot, and I'm assuming other people didn't play a lot, are getting, you know, reduced tiers. Such as the Beast, which was, if I remember correctly, the Beast is the 9/7 Beast that with Death Rattle it gives your opponent a 3/3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's moved from a tier 4 to a tier 3, so you can get the Beast a little bit sooner. And Cold Light Seer, now this one's a little bit more of a nerf. Cold Light Seer was a Murloc. It gave all of your other Murlocs plus 2 health. It has been moved from Tavern Tier 2 to Tavern Tier 3. Am I incorrect in this that didn't Cold Light Seer used to be 3 and they moved it up to 2 yes. recently? Okay.
Yeah.
So they reversed that change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think when they did the change, Murlocs weren't that good. Now Murlocs are really good, so they probably thought, okay, we can reverse this change now because Murlocs are probably the best tribe in the game right now. Yep. Speaking of powerful Murlocs, they did this change last week with Primal Fin Lookout. They moved it from Tavern 4, Tier 4 to Tavern Tier 5. Primal Fin was insane just because you can just sit there and keep getting the Murloc that would give other Murlocs poison.
Yeah. I mean, I think poisonous Divine Shield Murlocs or just poisonous Murlocs are just the best you can possibly go in battlegrounds.
For sure. Like,
that is stronger than everything else.
Yep. Now the big change, that this is going to be the change that completely like resets battlegrounds. It's going to make everybody trying to figure out how battlegrounds plays out now. Because this was the minion that basically ruled Battlegrounds from the beginning, and that's Nightmare Amalgam. They didn't change Nightmare Amalgam to moving up another tier, and then they didn't change the stat lines, which they haven't really been doing that on the minions too much, at least for the ones that you can usually find collectible.
Yeah.
They just completely removed them from the game.
I think that's necessary. Like, this is something that I agree with, because like whoever gets Amalgam when they hit 2 is just strictly ahead of everybody else because of how important that card is. It can become poisonous. It can get Divine Shield.
Yeah.
It can become a god amongst gods.
Yeah. It's like you get a buff minion to buff something up and you're just like, yeah, that's mine. And I'm putting it on that every time because I can. Whereas you don't have to make the decision of, well, I'm into beasts right now, 100%. It's like, no, I'm into beasts, but I can totally grab the mech stuff, and I can sit there and magnetize it as well.
This is interesting because it also means that it's gonna be harder to kind of get a strategy like early game. Like early game, you just want to look for Amalgam and have like a general thing where you're just kind of buffing. You don't really have to pick what kind of tribal theme you're going or like hard force anything or like dedicate yourself to a strategy early game. But now without Amalgam, like, what are you doing? Like, are you I feel like there's just so much more going on in the game now without that card, because
this is going to be the hardest change that people are going to have to get used to, and there's going to be a lot of people losing their ranks and being very upset starting tomorrow, including me probably.
I'm not upset about these changes.
I'm not upset about the changes. They are necessary. I absolutely agree that this change was necessary, and I felt like this change was necessary after I even played it at BlizzCon.
This is like that. That's why you want to level up to 2. That's why everybody levels up on 2 on 4. Well, that's why there's never anybody deviating from that strategy of just level up on 2.
Right.
Or when you have 4, or whatever, however you want to phrase it, but.
Be the lucky one to get it right off the bat.
Exactly. And then the other changes that they had.
I wanted to talk about one more thing about this. Just because I believe with this change, because it's been removed from minions, that anytime you get Curator as your pick, it's automatically, no matter what, that's what you're picking. Because Curator will still have the 1/1 Amalgam.
Yeah.
And
Curator was already high on the tier list.
Curator was already high, but now I feel like Curator is now number one just because of that.
Yeah, so. It might be. It just might be.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be like the number one most won hero. I feel like it's going to be the number one hero that you pick just because you get that added advantage that no one else is going to get now.
Yeah, there's definitely becoming a discrepancy. Like, the more that they nerf or remove heroes, the heroes that have been like solid, that have been untouched, like the Curator, like Yogg, what are some other ones? I don't know off the top of my head any other ones, actually. It might just be Curator and Yogg that are, like, really good. Maybe Nefarian's still not good enough. I think Curator and Yogg are probably just...
How do you say Nefarian's not good enough? Nefarian is... Well, Nefarian gets worse, I think, because of this change. Nefarian was good because, unlike, I almost always won with Nefarian. And the reason why Nefarian is good is because you got rid of all of their Divine Shield BS. And I feel like you're not going to have as much Divine Shield BS now.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I also think that Nefarian, like, isn't an auto pick for me. I think the auto picks are the ones that buff your cards in the early game, or ones that just give you better early game. Like, Bran was an auto pick because it gave you really good early game. Yogg is an auto pick for me because it just carries you through the early game super hard. The Amalgam with the Curator,
yeah,
I think is still an auto pick because it just...
Early
game just becomes significantly better.
I agree. I would still auto pick all three of those all day over Nefarian. 100% agree with you. But Nefarian is up there, I think, in top five.
I think Nefarian's up there, but like, I think that Yogg and the Curator are just like on another tier now.
Agreed.
Because they are the ones that just aren't nerfed.
Yogg is like my best hero. Like, my winning percentage with Yogg is like almost 100%. Like, I think I've lost like one top four with Yogg total.
Yeah. Also, the Murloc guy, the hat trick guy, I think he's also really good, but I don't know if he's necessarily S tier with the Curator and Yogg, but I think those are my top three.
Yeah. But speaking of one of those top three, Bran, he's not going to be a top three anymore.
Yeah, no, I didn't include Bran in that. I meant the Murloc guy.
Oh, you meant Dancing Daryl.
Yeah, Dancing Daryl. Yep. That guy. That guy's my homie. Bran, he's gone. He's gone. He's old news. We're leaving him in 2019.
He's been removed from the pool of heroes after being added. No more Bran Bronzebeard in your hero selection. But they brought back my boy. Good old Bartendatron has been added back. I'm excited for this. Bartendatron was my second most winning hero. And right after Yogg. And I've gotten in, you know, a few debates on Twitter with people and stuff who are just like, oh, Bartendatron is not that good. I disagree. I feel like he gives you that slight advantage. And it's enough. Like, keep in mind, I don't win. Like, I don't get first place with Bartendatron. I get top four with Bartendatron.
Right.
I don't win with Bartendatron very often, but I get top four. And that's what matters.
I just haven't played him enough, honestly. I didn't play him enough when he was in the game. Then he got removed. And I think he was, like, always, like, solid. Like, he's, like, B or, like, C tier.
Yeah, like,
maybe B tier.
He's not an automatic pick. Like, you know, if Curator is on that list, you know, I'm picking Curator. Yogg, I'm picking Yogg. You know, there are certain heroes that if they're on there, I'm picking, but I do not feel sad at all if I'm picking Bartendatron.
Right, exactly. Whereas he's better than the heroes that are just in the trash can. He's better than those ones. He's not in the trash can.
He's not in the trash can. I think he's a step or two above the trash can even. But he's not the top shelf liquor by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's not you're not paying $20 a shot from this bartender.
No, you're not doing that. He is. You're just not sad that you have him, and you're pretty sure that you're gonna get a top four.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, but you're also pretty sure you're not getting a first place finish. So you're just entering the bar happy, and you're gonna leave the bar happy.
Okay, I like that.
But you're not leaving the bar ecstatic. So
hey, man, top four is the goal.
Top four is the goal. People disagree with me. There's many people that don't win with Bartendatron, and maybe with these nerfs that are coming in, these balance changes, maybe he won't be as good. Maybe I just got lucky because I had a bunch of Amalgams or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah. So tomorrow we're playing a lot of Battlegrounds then, right? We're playing a lot of Battlegrounds in the rest of the month. Is that it?
I want to get to rank one legend. I don't know. I have nothing better to do. Stuck at home, man. I just want to, like, I don't know, just do stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to get to rank one legend just to do it. A little bit,
just to do it, tweet it out. Maybe you'll do it on Christmas Day.
Who knows, man? I streamed a little bit, actually. Like, I streamed like 2 or 3 times last week, so maybe I'll stream it. I'll probably stream it and like try to be productive.
Yeah. Do you have any big plans for Christmas?
Eat food.
Do you guys do anything special?
Not really. Like, we go over like our cousin's house or something and just eat there, but no, we don't really have a big family or anything. It's just kind of chill.
At the beginning of December, I always go up to my mom's. So I've already done that. And then like all of my aunts and uncles from like all over go there, and they're all from my dad's side of the family. And we meet at my mom's house. And that's because my dad was a carpenter, and he died like 15 years ago. Before he died, he had built like this huge room addition on our house, and he had just basically finished it when he passed away. He started building it, and then when he was close to being done, that's when he found out he had lung cancer, and he was dead within like 6 months later, basically, after finding out he had lung cancer, because it had spread to his bones and stuff like that. Like he didn't find it till like way late. That's what happens when you smoke for 40 years, boys and girls. So
yeah, don't do drugs. They're bad.
Don't smoke. So it's kind of cool to like get the whole family together and celebrate, and basically the house that my dad built, right? So that's pretty cool. And visit with family that I only get to see about once a year.
Is pretty dope.
Yeah. But there's no like presents opening or anything like that. We just have dinner and we visit. And it's like a 4-hour ordeal. It's like a mini family reunion.
That's the one thing that's gotten weird to me as like I get older is like, what do I even want for Christmas? Like, people ask me like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? Like, I genuinely don't know.
I don't want anything, because anything that you can give me, like, it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's nice. But when you ask me what I want, it's like, well, I would just go buy it. If I want it, I can just go buy it myself if I want it that bad.
Like, just get me something like funny that like that'll make me laugh when I open it. Like,
yeah,
something derpy. Yeah. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. Like, there's nothing I want anymore. Like, when you get older, like, you have like resources to get, like, if you really need something or want something that badly, like,
right,
as an adult, you're probably just going to get it.
Yeah.
It's not like when you're a kid and you're like, you want that Xbox or that PlayStation or something, and you got to wait for Santa Claus to get it for you.
Yeah. But I live pretty far away from my family. Not like super far away. Like, I'm talking like 4 hours. But I do have some family members that live in Kansas City. I have like a second cousin that lives down here, actually not too far from us. And his dad lives basically in our backyard, which is funny. My uncle lives in like North Kansas City, and last week we went over to my second cousin's house and this was his 27th annual one of these, and it's like just a white elephant gift exchange, and he invites like a bunch of his friends over and family and stuff, and we basically just do a white elephant. You bring a white elephant gift, you draw numbers, they go in that order, pick a gift, open it up, and then everybody laughs because you get the breast pump, you know.
Yo, I want to do that.
So it's just like, you know, stuff that you don't, you know, stuff that's funny or stuff that you don't want. And then everybody gets to laugh because the presents are usually pretty awful, but there's sometimes nice ones, and then nice ones you can steal.
That's true.
Yeah.
For me, like, I usually do more stuff with like friends than family, just because we don't really have much family. So it's more like Thanksgiving was the same too. Like, usually friends just end up coming over who don't really have like a whole bunch of family either, and we just kind of do a Friendsgiving. This year, Woody Bill came, which was really interesting and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you were talking about that last time you were on, and that's really cool. He came out for that. Next week, so this upcoming weekend is when I go then out to my mother-in-law's and my wife's family. And that one is all about gift giving. And it's crazy. And I don't like it. Just for the fact that, because I get asked 20 million times what I want for Christmas. I'm just like, I don't know, I'll buy it myself. And then I end up getting stuff that I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And I, yeah.
It's so weird because, like, I'm literally, like, at the point where, like, sometimes I'm just, like, just I actually kind of need, like, socks. Like,
right.
Or, like, something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, like, I don't know. Get me, like, a nice, like, jacket or something, or, like, a nice, like, hoodie or sweatshirt or, yeah. I don't know. Like, I literally can't think of anything that I want ever.
Like, just get me, like, I don't know. Just give me some candy or something, I guess.
Unless you can buy me good RNG. Like, if you can physically buy me good luck.
Yeah.
Or a new heart. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask Woody Bill about that. I think China's pretty good about the organ stuff.
Yeah. And then Christmas Eve, I'll drive back up to my mom's again. Spend a couple hours there, eat dinner with my mom, pick up a friend of mine from back home. And then we've been doing this for like 12 years now. He comes down here and then basically he'll be spending Christmas Eve through like January 6th at our place.
Mm-hmm.
And we just play video games that entire time because I have basically starting this Saturday, to be honest, until like January 6th, I'm off work. And so is he. So we just hang out and play video games for like 2 weeks. And it's like our 2 weeks of like being able to act like we're teenagers again, basically.
Sounds fun.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we've been doing that for, like I said, like 12 years now. It's been a long time.
All right. When can your family adopt me? These are the real questions I need answered.
I mean, they have adopted a lot over the years. So what's one more?
I'm a lot to handle. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you've got some baggage with you. I don't know if that's going to be the best plan. I don't know. It's fun. I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent, but I just realized that we've never really talked about what we do over the holidays. And I just thought people might be interested.
I like how your answer is like a long tangent. Mine's just like, yeah, it kind of just.
Yeah.
Just go eat food. I don't know.
Just go eat food. Yeah. I don't know.
Like maybe I'll stream on Christmas.
We have, my wife and I started a tradition last year where she bought a skeleton horse. From like, it's like a Halloween decoration, but it's like a life-size horse, skeleton horse. And but last year she got it, like she ordered it for Halloween, but she didn't get it until the day after Halloween.
Oof.
And so she's like, dang it, I got this, I'm gonna leave it up. And so she had it up through Thanksgiving, and then Christmas we decorated it with like lights and stuff, and it became the Christmas horse, and we put it up again this year. So we have the skeleton horse in our dining room that has Christmas lights all over it, and this year we hung up stockings on it too.
That's pretty cool. We don't have a Christmas tree this year.
So we have a Christmas horse.
I don't think we had a Christmas tree last year either.
No, we also have a Christmas tree as well, but
I don't think we have a Christmas tree.
Our Christmas tree is full of Star Wars decorations.
Yo, I'm going to have to get to the bottom of this after the podcast. I'm not going to lie.
Why you don't have a Christmas tree?
That. Yeah, dude, I just realized that.
You need to go do that. Do you put up a real tree?
We did before when we
Or did do you have Christmas an artificial trees. One now?
No, we did a real one. Like we're in New Hampshire, so there's like a lot of places to buy Christmas trees that are like pretty cool to just walk around.
Yeah, you should go do that. Anyway, I didn't mean to go on a complete like 20-minute tangent on Christmas stuff, but we did have an email, and I did want to talk about this email. So we got an email from the White Puma, who I believe has written in before. This name does sound familiar, and he said, "Hey guys, really enjoy the content. When do you guys think Shaman will get a legendary totem, and what would be some good ideas for a standard playable legendary totem be? Is the legendary totem a bigger Hearthstone meme than Ben Brode's beast deck from GVG? No one ever found that required them to make Hemet Nezinwari in GVG. Best wishes this holiday season. Ray's BattleNet official friend, White Puma."
I like the end there.
Ray's BattleNet official friend. He's official.
Hey man, I delete a lot of people. So if he's still on the list, man, that means he made it.
He made it. I'm still on there.
I know you made it.
I made it. I'm also Ray's BattleNet official friend.
You are. That's not something to take lightly.
Yeah. You only get like 200 of them.
I know. Dude, I have like over 200 friend requests. It's kind of weird.
So do you think Shaman will get a legendary totem, Ray?
I kind of hope so. I don't know what it would do, but I think it would do something like summon two totems at the end of the turn, kind of like the lackey totem, but like just summoning other totems. So it would like go along with some type of totem themed totem deck, you know, like just totally totems. Or maybe it would be like a tribal totem buff totem, like a give all your other totems +2/+2.
Maybe
while it's on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be a good one. I think the closest, like, here's the thing though, is I felt like the closest they did with totems, like a legendary totem, was when they did the shrines, because those feel like totems, even though I know that they're not, right? The way that they come into play, they have stealth, and then you get to enjoy them for a round unless your opponent did something with AoE, right?
Yeah.
You get to do the thing. And I really feel like if they did a legendary totem, I really feel like it would be something like that. But I feel like that would be cheapened because they've already kind of done it.
I just want them to make like a totem that like interacts. Like they've tried to make totems a thing before. Like they had that card that like, oh, if you have all four basic totems, summon like Alakir or something like that.
Right.
And just different kind of totem synergy cards. But honestly, they were all garbage and they really need to pull all of that together somehow. And I think a legendary totem could have the ability to at least give it a boost.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a legendary totem anytime soon either. Like just because, especially with where Shaman is right now. But also, I don't know what sets are coming out. Like, that was kind of the nice thing about the beginning of the year, because not only do you get the new set released with the new year, they kind of give you a teaser of what the next two sets are.
Mm-hmm.
I really doubt we'll get a legendary totem in this next set, but maybe based on those teasers, we can figure out, hey, maybe there will be one there. But I just don't see it. I feel like there has to be some kind of theme around it.
Yeah, totems.
Right.
Totems are the
right.
theme.
But the problem with that is, like, it's Shaman specific. You know?
Nah, they could do it. I believe in them.
Maybe they should make, like, a dragon totem.
I don't know the lore of World of Warcraft, so
that's just
a thing in WoW.
That is just something I just made up. It has nothing to do with the lore of WoW.
Okay. I just want them to make, like, totem cards playable, man. They've been around for so long. Even, like, the basic ones or whatever, the ones that give, like, +2 health or +2 attack or whatever, like, they're just all not playable, man.
Yeah. I mean, didn't
they just need to bring it together?
Didn't this all come up because, there was something where someone brought up to Ben Brode and they're like, hey, there's no legendary totem. And Ben's like, maybe we'll get one someday. And then everybody's been trying. And everybody's like, oh, sounds like they already have an idea. I don't think so. Ben's been Ben has been gone long enough now that I don't think he knows what cards are coming anymore.
Yeah.
If it hasn't happened now and Ben Brode said it, then I don't think, you know, if they do one, it's not going to be because Ben Brode knew about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, JR, it's about that time.
It's about that time.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thanks so much to the White Puma for sending that email. And if you would like to also email us and get our answers, if you have questions or anything like that, wellmet@blisspro.com is where you would do it. And get your questions in, like, you've got like 2 weeks or so before we do another show. So get a couple of those lined up for us because we love answering them. If you'd like to help support the show, there's a couple different ways that you can do that. One is through Patreon. Just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And for basically $1 a month, you get early access to the show, as well as the little pre-recorded pre-show, post-show type things, where it's usually just us like, what are we going to talk about on the show today, guys? And then afterwards, it's basically, Ray, I've got to go poop. so.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't stop it, man. You want me to hold that in? You want me to explode? Is that what you want?
No. By all means, everybody poops. So
why not
talk about it on the show?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Another way that you can help support us is through podcast reviews, like over on iTunes. If you just head over to iTunes, search for Well Met there, and or search for Hearthstone, Well Met will show up, and you leave a nice little review, and we'll read it on next week's show. Yeah. So shout out to, and how can people get in touch with you, Ray?
Shout outs to everyone who says positive things to me on Twitter and all that stuff. I keep seeing bits and pieces here and there, or after games of Hearthstone, people who add me and all that stuff means a lot, and I really appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at VG_Racy, and hopefully I'll be streaming on Twitch a little bit more. Nice. At twitch.tv/racy.
Nice. Yeah. I don't have any shout outs. I just want to wish everybody, you know, a good, happy holiday. If you celebrate Christmas, have a great Christmas. If you celebrate whatever other holidays are out there, hope those go great for you as well. And I guess we'll see you guys here in 2020. And it's going to be a good year. I think it's going to be a good year coming up. Anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 223 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music and the music that you're hearing right now. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.